chapter 3.
2 Peter chapter 3.
That's what I said.
I just turned on the recorder.
2 Peter chapter 3.
There you go.
Where's Tom?
Brooks.
Yeah. I brought his gift for him tonight. So.
You brought that for Tom too?
Uh-huh. What is it?
Mint.
Oh,
we got a mint plant and mint.
Yes, I have.
You have his number?
Oh, no. If he doesn't come, I'll leave it with you.
All right.
If it's okay with you.
Okay, 2 Peter 3.
Verse 9. Verse 8, excuse me.
Well, now, wait a minute. Are we going from where you are to someplace else?
2 Peter, chapter 3.
Okay.
We'll start in verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that in one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, he's not talking about anyone in the world perishing. He's talking about his people come to repentance, the fullness of repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heaven, a new land or earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, as all this is taking place, we're rising up to meet him in the air. And as we look down for a brief second, everything in the universe will have to pass through a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. Now, and then Thessalonians talks about the same thing, but we rise up to meet him in the air. But here's the deal. Some of you have heard this before, but I'm going to repeat it again. In our high school, we had calculus. And the instructor, our teacher, gave us this experiment. We had to compute the size of the container that would hold everything in the universe, in the known universe. Every planet and every star and every solar system. That would hold everything in the universe if space were removed. And they gave us the parameters. And it was just a calculus calculation. And at that time, everything in the universe would fit into an 8-ounce water glass. Every constellation, every star, everything would have fit into an 8-ounce. It would have been very heavy. But now they've gone deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into the atom, and they found more and more and more space. So that now everything in the universe will have to pass through a dot that's smaller than your eye can see. Because the only thing that gives space dimension is time. In Revelation 10, it says, or 7, when the mystery of God is completed, the seventh angel shall stand and say, time shall be no more. And when time is no more, then whap. But just before that happens, we'll rise up, we'll see him in the clouds, we'll rise up to meet him in the air. Now, there may be all kinds of crap going on the earth around us. But Nick and I were just talking about this. It's not necessary for anything else to happen. Everything, the only thing that's keeping that from happening right now is our disobedience. Just as Noah condemned the world by his obedience, so we condemn the world by our obedience. He's just waiting for the last cell of the bride to be perfected. And time has served its purpose. Go to Revelation 7.
You like the reverse of the Big Bang. Really expanding.
No, it's not. It's Revelation 10, what I said in the first place. And you remember we studied this in verse 4, when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying, unto me seal up those things which the seven thunders utters, and write them not. Remember when we studied that? And remember, the Antichrist had to be revealed before we could, that's what he was saying. The thunders were saying who the Antichrist was. Now, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things that there which therein are, that there should be time no longer. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. Time shall be no longer. And boom, in the speed of thought, everything in the universe has to pass through that dot that's smaller than your eye can see. And that's what's described in 2 Peter. Amen? Is that to answer your question? All right. We have to do Canis Major over again because we didn't record. So let's get you get your star map out. Everybody find Canis Major. It's just we just need we those two have got their these guys have got their special one. So you and I and Burnett are the only peons.
Yeah, we're using the real tiny ones.
When I went there, it was the biggest they could make them.
All right. Everybody find Canis Major. It's to right to the immediate. It's right next to the ship. Arco. Argo. All right. Are you supposed to be a dog or a wolf? The modern star map system is called the Greater Dog. That's what Canis Major means. In the ancient planisphere, it is pictured as a hawk or an eagle that is swooping down on the serpent in Lepus. And just remember, Lepus is the serpent. And he's swooping down upon the serpent. All right?
Clarify that again now. The ancient maps depict them as a hawk.
Right. Lepus is a hawk or an eagle that's sweeping down on the snake.
You mean Canis Major is a hawk?
Canis Major.
I mean, yeah, Canis Major is a hawk. Excuse me.
See, I'm sorry. I had to correct
you. All right. The Egyptian name is Apis, which means the head. The Hebrew name is Naz, which means the hawk. Brightest star is Sirius, which means prince.
Is that in his nose?
Huh?
Sirius is
in Yeah, it's in his nose. Yeah. In Hebrew, the word is Sar. Remember, the Hebrew name of this is Naz. And the Hebrew name of the brightest star is Sar, Nazar. The star is associated with the great heat and with evil coming upon the earth. At the time of Christ and earlier, this star appeared in August at the time of Christ. And Homer says of this sign, whose burning breath taunts the red air with fevers, plagues, and death. Virgil says, with pestilence, heat, and With pestilence heat, cirrus infects the sky. And that's where we get the term the dog days of August. Remember, we talked about it. You combine the name of the star and the name of the brightest. I mean, the name of the sign and the name of the brightest star. We get Nasir. And that's some scholars believe that's why Jesus was called the Nazarene, the prince called to come swiftly. And the Nazarene are the name given to believers in Acts 24:5. Now, other stars in it. Sirius is the brightest star. In Akkadian, it's called Kasista, which means the leader. In Sirius in Persia, is called Tistar, which means chieftain of the east. The left forefoot, the star's named Mirzam, the prince or the ruler. None of these stars have anything to do with the name of a dog. That's the whole point of this. The star in the body is Wesson, the bright shining star, which in the right hind foot it's Adhara, the glorious. And in Hebrew that's Ashir, which means who shall come. In Arabic it's Al-Shira, which means chief of the right hand. Now remember that. Canis Majors, another name for it is chief of the right hand. In Arabic, it's called, another star in Hebrew is called Abur, the mighty. Al-Habor, in Arabic, the mighty. And Malfen, the chief, in Arabic. The names have no meaning whatsoever with regard to the dog or Canis Major. And since we read these scriptures before, I'm just going to read them for the sake of our people that are listening on them. These are the scriptures that refer to all that stuff we just said. Isaiah 2, 12 to 22. Isaiah 60, verse 4. Isaiah 63, 1 to 6. Zechariah 14, 12. Daniel 8, 23 to 25.
Can you read the Zechariah one again? Zechariah
14:12.
All right.
I thought you wrote these in the last week's notes.
I wrote most of them, but I missed the Zechariah one.
2 Thessalonians 2:8. Revelation 19, 15, and 16. Excuse me. Psalm 149, 7 to 9. Man, I hate this. If I'm sitting outside, I'm fine. When I come inside, I start coughing. Now, that's enough for Canis Major since it was a review. All right? Now we're going to Canis Minor. Everybody find it? It's a little dog above the big dog. But it too is not a dog. In both the Latin and Greek, they both agreed that it was a dog for some reason. And then I could go through all the myths about it, but I don't feel like doing it tonight. But in the ancient Egyptian name of the oldest planisphere is Sebak, S-E-B-A-K. And that word means conquering or victorious. It is represented as a human figure with a hawk's head or an eagle's head. And you've seen that figure often if you've seen any of the Egyptian art. Anytime that, like, what do you call the lion with the bird's head? They're all over the place. Griffin.
Yeah.
When I was at the Oracle of Delphi and at the Parthenon, there are inscriptions of griffins everywhere. And I asked their guide, why, what, what those meant. What is, what does it mean with a lion with a bird's head? And they didn't know. And so I told them, well, here's what it means. It means it's the completion of the zodiac. And it's the Lion of Judah. And every time in Egyptian mythology, if it had a bird's head, it was spiritualized. It made it spirit. And so we have the Lion of Judah completing his work and is spiritualized. That's what the griffin means. And here we have Sebak, or Canis Minor, pictured as a human with the figure of a hawk or an eagle. They're not sure which one. It's a hawk or an eagle. All right? I want to figure out why. It differs from the first, the Canis Major, in that it is much smaller. And that we'll wait for Nick. I love this stuff, especially since I've been there and seen all that stuff, the temples. And I was wondering if you could put some shoes on. He must be going out again. He's going out again because he's tying his shoes.
I may or may not. I just don't know. Tried to find somebody to do trash run with me, and no luck so far.
Did you ask Mary?
No, I didn't, actually. To go into a dumpster with me tonight? I'm not going to ask.
Well, that's though, a real come
on. I have.
Did you go into a dumpster with me tonight? We'll have a martini.
No, I'm not going to ask you to do that. Only my friends could do that, but
you could bet there will be something nasty in there.
Just the thought just makes me cringe.
Okay, this Sebak differs from the hawk in Canis Major, which is Canis Major, in that it has a human body, and it follows, it's smaller, much smaller, and it follows behind the big guy, the big hawk. Now, we just saw that in Canis Major, that was referred to as Prince of the Right Hand. Remember, we just said that. The name of the principal star of the first Mike, this sign, Canis Minor, is called, in Arabic and Hebrew, it's called Prince royal of the left hand. So we had Canis Major being prince of the right hand, and now this being is ruler of the left hand, or royal of the left hand, okay? Which is fascinating. The name of the principal star, it's one of the first magnitude, it's the brightest star, the real bright one there, is Procyon, P-R-O-C-Y-O-N, and it means the redeemed. There's a star in this one with the same name as there was a star in the other one. It's called Al-Mirzam, and it occurs here, and it also means the royal, or the ruler. Just as it said with the bride, that we will reign and rule forever. We'll be co-inheritors with Christ. The second star, which you can see in it, it's not very clear, but it's called Al-Gomiza. And it also means redeemed. So who's the redeemer and who's the redeemed? Who was the ruler of the right hand and who was the royal of the left hand? Well, it's obvious. The bride. Now, again, we have these hawks or the eagle So let's go to Luke 17. And why they're important. Verse 37. 17:37. Wheresoever the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now, what does that mean? There are no serpents where the eagles are, or the hawk, either one. They can't coexist together. Now, once we've established, and all the other decans of the Gemini so far, that there's still a battle going on. And we've established that the only battle, Christ is, Satan's been defeated. The only battle that's going on is in you, in his minion, the evil one. And that's what the word sanctification means in the scriptures. The sanctification is your mind being redeemed or renewed so that it agrees with the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is empty. So there's no separation. There's no more Satan's half second between what you say and what you think. It's just prophecy. You remember when we studied, were you here around when we studied Satan's half second?
I remember the term, but I'm not very clear on
it. You remember?
Of course, yeah, of course. We studied a long time.
There's a condition in your mind that's somewhere around a half second. That it takes that long before a stimulus hits you, and that before you can respond. It's, in other words, your mind is thinking up. Your mind is thinking up how to respond to it instead of true prophecy. Now, this is why it's so important not to have a governor. Because as long as you agree with the evil one that you need a governor, then you're agreeing that there should be Satan's half second before you speak. And that's what the body is for, that we exhort one another daily while it is still called today if there's an issue. But you must be as Jesus was so that there is no separation between the impulse and the speak. Because this is what true prophecy is about. This is what, let's go to John 5:30. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Is everybody so used to thinking about what you're going to say next that you don't?
No. I just try and figure that out. But
you have to think about it.
Yeah.
That's a half a second.
That's more than a half a second. Yes.
Okay. John 5. Did I say that?
You did.
Yes.
John 5, verse 30.
No, let's start in verse 17.
All right.
Well, we have to start a little earlier. He healed this guy on the Sabbath day. And then in verse 16, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Wherefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself or from himself. That's what that's proper translation is. But what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, those also doeth the Son likewise. Now, do you understand what that means? That means there is absolutely no separation between Christ and the Father. that after his baptism, he was so emptied that there was no separation. Now that's your heritage, that there be no separation between you and the Father because you're in Christ. But what we do, what do? We have to have a governor. We can't trust. Now, you've heard me say many times, you don't deny Jesus by saying he doesn't exist. You deny Jesus by saying you exist. Does anybody buy that, Nick?
Yeah.
Well, and what purpose can you have as a filter? You can have only a negative purpose as a filter. If it has to pass through your mind or what I call Satan's half second, then it's automatically polluted. So that's what true prophecy means. It means without interference. It just means speaking. Now, if you deny him before men, if you deny Christ before men, my Father, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. The word deny there means, it's another word. It's a different word than, it means to build a dam. Now, we've already got a dam. Do you understand how big that dam is, depending on what kind of life you've had?
Damn.
The dam is so thick that atomic bombs can't get through it. Because you are so concerned with what other people are going to say about you, or whatever, whether you're going to offend somebody, that there's so much crap there that you got tons of dead elephants behind the dam. So when the dam breaks, you're going to have all kinds of gooky stuff come out.
That's the technical term, is gooky.
Gobbledygooky.
Do you understand me? What?
Scary.
Well, of course it's scary. It's just as scary for me as it is for you.
Yeah. Don't you think a person could be deluded that they're doing that?
Well, that's why the body tells. It has to be proven by Scripture. It has to be proven by internal witness.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm.
Now, you all know about my previous stint as a Bible study teacher at Highland Park Methodist Church, right? And Frank Warden, who was a good friend of mine, was the pastor in charge of the Bible studies. And so he came to me and said, Ollie, I'm afraid we're going to have to ask you not... You're going to have to stop teaching Bible Sunday school at Highland Park. And I said, what's going on? I was teaching some singles class or something, I don't remember. And he said, well, you're offending too many people. And so I went and met with a senior pastor. You've heard me talk. Some of you heard this, but bear with me. Because it's about this very subject. I've said the same thing. It's Highland Park Methodist Church, as I say here. So I went and met with Dr. Leighton Farrell. And I'd known him well, and he'd been in my talk show. So I said, did you know that Frank asked me to stop teaching? And I called him first and I said that. And he said, no, I didn't know that. So, well, would you see what's going on? And then he called me back and he'd set up a meeting for me to come and talk to him. We spent the whole day together. And I went down scripture by scripture, the same way we do here, what I see as the gospel. And he said, Ollie, you're absolutely right. But you can't afford to keep saying that unless you have more witnesses. And I said, what do you mean? I said, I've got the witness of the scripture. I've got the internal witness. What else? What other witness do I have to have? He said, a body of people. And so that's the only reason we exist. Because of Frank Warden. Basically Frank Warden, but because of Dr. Farrell. Before he died, about 15 years, do you remember when was that he came here for lunch?
I don't really.
10 years or something like that.
Yeah.
I called him and invited him over for lunch. It turns out he'd been keeping a file on us, our investigative stuff and all that, and every time something was in the paper. So I said, he came, we ate lunch, and we went across the street, and I described to him what was going on. And I said, you know, you're responsible for all this. And he had been promoted then. He was like the Pope of the Methodist Church. He was in charge of urban ministries for the Methodist, United Methodist Church. And I said, you remember the conversation? And he hadn't remembered it clearly, but I said, you're the reason that we exist because of you, your statement that there had to be another witness, another body, a body. And he started crying. And then he called me, and he went and called me the next day, and he asked, he said, Ollie, we'd like you to consider something. And I said, what is that? He said, we'd like you to consider putting Trinity Foundation under the umbrella of urban ministries of the Highland Park Methodist, I mean, of the United Methodist Church of America. And you wouldn't have to worry about money anymore. I talked it over with the board, but we decided not, because it would ruin our credibility to be associated with the denomination in terms of the investigations. Anyway, but the point is, this thing about having a witness is critical. You don't just say delusional things. If you can't prove what you're saying in the scriptures, you ought to keep your mouth shut. Because the Holy Spirit, through you, isn't going to have anything that isn't confirmed in the Scriptures. Amen. And so that's the only thing, that's why the people of Berea, the only people in the Bible that were ever commended. Because they searched the Scriptures daily to see whether these things be true. What things? The things that Paul told them. And so, you know, I was ready to believe I was delusional. Because wasn't two witnesses enough? Is it my internal witness and the scriptures? And isn't all those years of translating the words? No, it wasn't enough. Anyway, that's a little aside. But it's an important aside because of what you said, and by prophecy. All right, so.
About half the things I say, I regret saying, but I think it's probably because I'm missing it for that half second.
Yeah, you're sticking with that half second. All right, let's go to let's just go to a few scriptures in Isaiah. Let's go to Isaiah 44.
I gotta get a drink of water. You want some water, Ollie?
No.
Hey, I'll go. Here.
I mean 44. Do you understand that it's important that these stars and the things that we're talking about, which are, the translation is the redeemed, it means that's different from the redeemer. The redeemer is Christ. The redeemed is the church. Remember thee, in verse 21, I'm sorry. Remember thee, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains. O forest and every tree, for the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Now, the only reason we're studying that, looking at that, is do you all understand that Israel after the flesh was a parable for the bride? Well, this is what we in the Melito Sardi speech, we heard this clearly on Sunday morning of Passover, but it amazes me how often we miss that. You agree with that, right?
Say it again.
That Israel is a parable for the bride. That the nation, the Jewish people, were to be a representative of the human race. And so what the Jewish people did, the human race did. And so when the Jewish people kill Christ, we kill Christ. If the Jewish people had been faithful, we would have been faithful in this mystery. But now, his own seed has gotten him the victory, because once they killed his son, then all bets were off. The flesh was no more to be tested. All right? All right, I just want you... So, it's noted in, even in the stars. Remember, we'll see there are two sheepfolds. They're called Ursa Major and Ursa Minor, but they're really sheepfolds. And there were two bands of the fish, remember, because there's two. We still have the Old Testament church, the redeemed of the Old Testament, just as the redeemed of the New Testament. All right. Let's go to Isaiah 59.
42.
We just read.
Yeah, okay.
Isaiah 59. Well, that's what we're going to talk about right now, is what I just said. Verse 15. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation. And the word arm is zeruah, the seed, right? You understand that? And his own seed brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall he fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When an enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of thy mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Arise and shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, etc., etc., etc. I just wanted to make sure that we know who is this Canis Minor is, or who this hawk with a human body. Okay? All right, now let's go to Romans 8.
That that particular reference, did it start, what verse did we start in, 15?
Yeah, 15 to 22, 21. Let's go to, where did I say go?
Romans 8.
All right, Romans 8, verse... This is just a comparison to the redeemed and the redeemer, but and the one's called the ruler of the right hand and the other's ruler of the left hand. Royal of the left hand.
Yeah, it's not, if we studied that before, that's not in the a lot of the original, most of the
What are you talking
text.
About?
Part of verse 1, the half of it is marked out.
Yeah, who walked not after the flesh but after the Spirit isn't in the original text. That's in the translator's gloss. There, it just says, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. You can't be in Christ Jesus and walk after the flesh. You understand that? You have to get out of him to walk after the flesh. All right. Where should we start? I'll just start in verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, what does mortify mean?
Kill.
No. That would leave you something to do. Mortify means see as dead.
Pay no attention to it.
Huh?
Pay no attention to it. This is, it doesn't exist.
All right. No, I lost my place.
Verse 13, mortify.
13, okay. Mortify the deeds of the flesh, of the body you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. Now the word adoption is huiothesios. And it means the placing of the fullness of the Son. So there's no, Christ doesn't have to grow up again in you. All you have to do is die. You understand that? There's not a little baby Christ in you. It looks that way because you still act as after the flesh. All right? But all you have to do is abandon yourself. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And this is the verb. Children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So it's just, I just wanted to see the ruler on the right hand and the ruler on the left hand, okay? All right, one more. Ephesians 4. Verse something like that. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine and by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, it's not talking about other men, it's talking about you.
Yeah.
I mean, other men too, if you pay attention to them. but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now the body edifies itself if there's abandonment. It's the same as when Moses had all the pieces of the tabernacle built, and they were sitting in her front lawn for like 3 months, and Mrs. Moses kept saying, "Get rid of that stuff out there." And then when the appropriate time came, the tabernacle, it says, reared itself, which is kind of fun. What are you doing, Pete?
I'm laying down so I can breathe easier. But now I'm sitting up.
This I say, therefore, and test what?
Somewhere I stumbled on about the Ten Commandments after Passover, and with Charleston Heston, and it was just amazing, the movie. Oh. And how like each scene would last minutes, whereas nowadays it lasts a second.
Half a second.
Half a second, and the whole story was incredible to watch.
Does it actually say in the scripture that it raised itself?
It says it in the Hebrew words. Yeah.
What was the question, Mary?
Does it?
The scripture. Does it say in the scripture that the tabernacle reared itself? And I said yes, in terms of the real meaning of the Hebrew words. It says the tabernacle reared itself. Because it never says they ever built it. They never put it together.
Be like our tent back there. Just
what does it say here?
Huh?
What does it say
in our the body edifying itself in love. That's what edify means, to build up.
Okay.
I didn't make that tie.
No, we didn't.
I'm just...
All right.
Slow learner.
Well, now if you didn't know what edify meant. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance. Can everybody say ignorance?
Ooh, I hate that.
I know, that's why I said it. Can you say ignorance?
I was going to say what? That's what this guy said. Can anybody
ignorance that is in you because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put off the new man, put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and truth, holiness. You know, that's all. That was just the idea that we got to put on this new man and get rid of the old. Then one verse in let's go to chapter 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not you therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Now it doesn't say you were sometimes in darkness, it says you were sometimes darkness. And so, the only way you can walk, and this is who the mystery is to, it's to them that have brought forth fruit necessary for repentance. So you're taking no stands in this world. You're giving no breath to anything in time and space. That's who then you are part of, the ruler or the royal of the left hand. Just as... Okay? I don't feel like talking anymore. Now, we get next on cancer. And that's even more fun than all this stuff. I love this stuff.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
They're going up on a website.
Oh, they are?
You know, some of them are already up there, aren't they?
Is that the only way you can listen to them?
Huh? No, you can get them just off Pete.
All right, you guys.
DVDs or what?
Good night.
All right, Ollie.
Hi, Nick.
Always good to see you.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thanks. I'll be getting a hold of Liam. All right. Let me make sure I got my keys.
Do you have your, did you bring your coat in?
No. There you go.
All right, have a good.
Yep. See you, Nick.
No, we can get them in almost any format you want if you want them.
Really?
Yeah.
They
10,000 of them.
They're going on to a computer right now, and then
okay.
We're going to start putting these up on the.
Oh, I thought we'd already started.
Not the Wednesday night stuff. Okay. Only the morning meeting. We're almost caught up with the morning meeting. I mean, yeah, we were like up to the day till about 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago when we had to, you know, Chiz had to start on his
All right.
stuff.